All right, I hope you brought your Bible this morning, and I want you to take that Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's stand, and we're going to honor the reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read the entire chapter this morning. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. And where there be tongues, they shall cease. And where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Brother Russell Broussard, would you pray for the message this morning? God bless it. Yes, help me.
Dear Lord, give him the authority to speak it. Dear Lord, I pray that you just use him as a chosen vessel, dear Lord. And I pray that you just open up our ears, open up our hearts.
Yes.
Lord, let us receive this message and let us be a blessing to you, dear Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This is commonly known as the love chapter. And that's all right, but I don't like to call it the love chapter. Because when you call this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 the love chapter, what you are doing is you're going on with along with all the modern versions today. All the modern versions have taken the word charity out of this and put the word love in there. Because they say, you know, this is love. Love does all these things. And they've translated that word love instead of charity. But I want you to know that the King James Bible has it right. And all the other versions have it wrong. Because charity encompasses much more than love or an emotion. Charity takes on the connotation of actually doing something. Now, if you were to look up the word charity, it simply means this. Charity means a benevolent goodwill or love toward humanity. Generosity and helpfulness. Benevolent goodwill. It's doing something. And I can go ahead and sum up to you this morning the idea that I want to get across in this message. And then I'll try to persuade you of that idea. But the idea is this. It's not just enough to say that we love somebody. It's not just enough to say that I've got these emotions or these feelings. God wants us to take it a step farther and do something with our emotion. People sit around, they say, well, I've got goosebumps and I just feel this way about you, and I feel that way about you. Well, love is not an emotion. Now, Hollywood has turned it into an emotion. Hollywood makes it that, you know, you see this good-looking man across the room, this good-looking man sees this good-looking lady across the room, and they say it's love at first sight, and they get married and are happy forever and after, and there's always, picnics and flowers and bouquets and kisses and hugs and all that kind of stuff. Listen, that's a bunch of bull. That ain't how life goes. Man, you get fat and ugly and bald and everything else. Now, the lady you marry, she's going to have to start putting on more and more makeup every year. That's exactly right. You know what true love, true charity is? True charity is that woman turned over looking at you and saying, you know, that joker's about 70 pounds heavier than he was when we got married. He used to have all this beautiful head of hair. Now, he don't have it anymore. But I still love him. It's an action. And Hollywood's got the whole thing messed up. And these new versions don't even realize how they're going down that same path by trying to misdirect you and put the word love in there instead of charity. And the idea that I want to get across to every Christian in here this morning is we do need to have the right passion. We do need to have compassion. We do need to be stirred in our hearts with love and mercy. And we do need to have feelings toward one another and toward the Lord Jesus Christ especially. But those feelings are not enough. It needs to be a feeling and an action. How would my wife like it if I came in and I said, I'm gonna cook supper tonight for you? Well, she wouldn't like that at all, I can tell you. And you wouldn't either if I did it. But I said, I'm going to cook supper for you tonight. You don't have to worry about it. And she came in from working and sat down at the table and said, where's the supper? I said, well, you know what, honey? Ain't it enough that I thought about cooking supper all day? Ain't it enough that I had these dreams and visions of me and you sitting down and holding hands and lighting candles and having a nice supper together? You know, I thought about this supper for you all day. And boy, ain't that emotion enough? And when her belly starts growling, she's going to say, no, it's not. It's not enough. Listen, you should have a feeling. I think doing acts without the right motivation and without the right spirit and without the right feeling is wrong. But I think just having a feeling and just having emotion and just having an idea of compassion in itself exclusively is wrong. There needs to be a combination in the body of Christ, and you find that combination in the word charity. Charity takes on the idea of doing something and giving something. Now, I'm not talking, some of these people in these charities today, they do charitable acts. They just do it to get elected in office and to get votes and get it right off on their income tax. They don't care about people. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about you and I from a true heart of love and wanting to give and wanting to help and wanting to be merciful and having a feeling of compassion. We act upon it and do something with it. We ought to be charitable Christians with our money. Amen. I know people don't like you preaching on money. With our money, with our time, with our talents, with our gifts, with our abilities, whatever it is that God gives us, let's don't just think about, oh, how much we love them, how much we care. Let's do something with it. That's what charity is. Charity is a combination, I believe, of having that compassion, having that love. That's why it says in the definition of charity, it's benevolent, it's doing something, it's a goodwill or love toward humanity, generosity, and helpfulness. You're helping somebody, you're doing something. You know, it's not just enough, and I'm going to get in and expound this a little bit, and this ain't going to be a very long message today, but I'm wanting to get this idea across to you. It's not just enough for us to sit here and say, boy, when we call out the names on that prayer list, I sure am sorry to hear about somebody's losing a youngin', or, oh boy, I sure do feel compassion in my heart about that person that's battling cancer. Good. You should. But now go home and pray for them. Now go home and keep the prayer list close and call their name out day after day after day as if it was your youngin' that needed prayer. As if it was in your family that was suffering the tragedy. That's what charity is. It's not just having these emotional feelings about I need to help. It's actually helping. It's doing something. That's where the body of Christ is messed up. You have some people in the body of Christ, they might help, but they're doing it in a self-righteous way, thinking they're earning points with God or something, and don't even care. And you got other folks over here, they're dreamers, and look, oh, the poor, pitiful people, they need help. They sit on their behinds and don't do anything. We need charity. We need people with a heart and a compassion for others and for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God Almighty, who will get up and act upon that compassion and do something. Expound this just a little bit. That's going to be the message this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that the use of spiritual gifts without love, without charity, is useless. That's the emotion part of it that ought to be there. See, it's not just an action. Notice what he said in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels and have not charity, I become as sound of brass or tinkling cymbal. He said, I may speak with tongues of men. I may speak with the tongues of angels. But that don't make a difference what I'm doing if I don't have love in my heart, if I don't have charity. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, what does the Bible say? I am nothing. Do you know that just because you're gifted don't mean you're spiritual? Listen, there's preachers all over this country now in pulpits today preaching. Their heart's not for God. They could care. Listen, people get saved after they're preaching. People get called to preach up under their preaching, but their heart's not with God. Listen, I want my heart to be in tune with God, and I want to walk. It's not just about what I do. It's not just about how I'm gifted. There's all kind of folks that can come up and play the piano or sing in a choir or preach or teach a Sunday school class. And that's because God has gifted them to do that. But I don't want to just do the action. I want to have a charitable heart about it. I want my heart to be right. My heart ought to be that I'm wanting to help you when I preach. Number one, I ought to want to please God when I preach. I would want to do something for the Lord. You'll not show up here and sing in the choir because, well, if I know Brother Dennis to get mad. Who cares about Brother Dennis? You need to care about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to do your stuff out of a heart for Him. There's a lot of people that are serving. They're serving and they're going through the motions and doing the things. And they don't have a charitable heart. And that's wrong. You can have all the spiritual gifts and have everything in the world and be just as gifted as anybody. But spiritual gifts do not determine spirituality. I've known of preachers that were embezzling funds the whole time they were preaching. People were still getting saved. People were still getting help. Why? Because God sovereignly gave that man the gift to preach. That's from God. But that man has a free will whether to walk with God or not, to be spiritual or not. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. My conscience would just absolutely kill me. But I know of preachers that have been preaching in the pulpit and have great ministries. People getting saved. People get actually really and truly getting help. He's sleeping with a woman on the side. You hear about that stuff all the time. You say, explain that to me. Because having a spiritual gift does not mean you're spiritual. God's given everyone, if you're saved here this morning, everybody in here has got a spiritual gift. You may have more than one. You may have several. But that doesn't mean that you love God. That doesn't mean that you love people. That doesn't mean that you're doing right. You have that gift. You may can exercise that gift. But I don't mean you're spiritual at all. And that's why I don't want to just be a good preacher. I've prayed this several times in my life. I said, God, I want to be a good preacher. And I want to be a good Christian. But if I can't be but one, I'd rather be a good Christian than a good preacher. A good Christian has to do with what your heart and your character and what you really are for God. Being a good preacher is that gift that He gives you. He gives anybody a gift. So that don't mean anything because you're doing anything. You need to have charity. Now look at the next thing. Actions without love, they just profit nothing. Actions without charity, they profit nothing. He said, but though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, God don't want us just doing something just to be doing it. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you came to church here this morning because you have a charitable heart in you? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you came here because your wife nagged you into coming? Or you said, well, you know, I don't want that preacher calling me, asking me where I was at, so I figured I better come. Haven't been here in a while. How many of you came here begrudgingly? How many of you, when the offering plate came around, said, well, everybody's looking at me, I better reach in there and put something in that plate? Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. You're not doing anything with God because you graced God with your presence here this morning, because you to put a couple of dollar bills in the plate for God if your heart wasn't in it. Now go ahead and put them in the plate. Even if you give it grudgingly, it'll still pay the light bill. But you don't get nothing for it. People got a strange idea that as long as they do the right thing, that's all right. No, you need to do the right thing for the right motivation. You need to do the right thing for the right reason. Man's looking on the outward appearance. But the Bible says that God's looking on the heart. And when I look at you, I can say, oh, brother so-and-so, they sure are spiritual. He's here every Sunday. Oh, he puts in the plate. Oh, he gives of his time. Oh, he gives of his talents and his abilities. Brother so-and-so may not be spiritual at all, because brother so-and-so may be doing it exclusively to be seen by others. True charity. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you? True charity is the right motivation, the right action, the right love with you doing something. And that's where God wants his people at this morning. He wants us to have the right heart. He wants us to have the right emotions. He wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to have these feelings. He wants us to have the right motives for what we do. But then he don't want us just to sit back on the pew and talk about it. Listen, you don't have to go to Shaco Springs every year to learn how to win souls. You don't have to have committees on committees on committees on committees and have 1,500 business meetings every year to figure out what this church ought to be doing. Just show up and make yourself available. And God will use you. You can do something. Just a few characteristics of charity. True charity. That's what we're looking for. True charity. First, number four, charity suffereth long. It suffers long. That means you have to suffer long. That means you have to be patient. You say, well, I did this, I do that. Are you patient with other people? Are you patient? If you're not patient, you're not a charitable person. I said, if you're not a patient person, you're not a charitable person. Well, I'm to people, blah, 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 blah. Let me ask you something. You get so mad about having to wait on others. How long has God had to wait on you, brother? Now, you keep your mouth shut about waiting on others when God's up there can't get you to do nothing. Smile, God loves you. That's exactly right. You can't wait on others because it's all about you. What you want to do, when you want to do it. Do you know why a lack of patience is such a lack of character? Because all a lack of patience is selfishness. I'm being put out. My time's being wasted. I want them. Oh boy, I can see the steam coming out of some ears now. You know why? Because I've got your number. No, I don't. The Holy Spirit does. Amen. Still glad you came. Hope you are. Charity, look what it says in verse number 4, is kind. You treat people kindly. Notice what it says, envieth not. We were talking about some of that in Sunday school this morning, in the men's Sunday school class. Charity don't look over there at a brother that's got more than you do and envy him. If you really have charity, if you really have love and compassion and anxious to do something for others, then you don't envy your brother that's got more than you. You're glad for him. Oh, we're going to find out who's got charity and who don't this morning. Because not many people is genuinely glad for their neighbor. And I am. Listen, I wish if you could handle it, God would give every one of you $1 million. Now, he ain't going to give maybe none of you $1 million because you can't handle it. But I don't care. But listen, I wish everybody in this church, I wish you had a new vehicle. I wish you had new houses. I wish you had all the money you could stand. Man, I wish your future was so bright you had to wear shades, that kind of business. I'm all for it. But if giving you that stuff is going to hurt you, then I want you to have none of it. And most of the time it does. But don't be envious. Listen. There's always somebody with less than you, and there's always somebody with more than you. Unless you want to be a stinking communist. This is America. And in America, there's always going to be someone less than you, and always going to be someone more than you. Get over it. Maybe if you was a better steward of what you have, you may have more. Or maybe the reason you don't have more is God knows you wouldn't do nothing with it anyway. I'm having a good time. Tell you something else about charity. It said it's vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Charity's not prideful. Charity ain't, look how much I give to charity. You don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. If you're really a charitable person, you ain't got to go around and shoot your mouth off about what you do for people. You don't care if people know what you're doing for people. You know that the Lord knows what you're doing. That's what a charitable person is. If you're really a person of charity, you won't get offended when your name is not in the bulletin for some kind of great thing you did. You won't walk out offended, sucking your thumb. Pastor didn't even recognize me this morning. That's our whole idea.
Amen.
You won't care if nobody recognizes you because you know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows what you did. Oh, and by the way, He knows why you did it too. That's a pretty important piece of information. Not just what you did, but why did you do it? We hacking the limbs off now. Charity behaves right. It says, does not behave herself unseemly, verse 5. Seeketh not her own. If you're really a charitable person, you're not worried about what you can get. You don't seek your own. You're concerned about others. Is not easily provoked. How many of you say, I get mad easy, I get put out easy, I get provoked easy? You have a problem with charity. Listen, if you have a charitable spirit, then you don't just blow up at everything everybody says or does to you. Thinketh no evil. This is a description of people who are truly charitable people. You know what that is? That is a person that has the right heart, the right feelings, the right compassion, the right motivation, but he's also putting it into action. Which is exactly what God wants us to be. Notice what else it says. Verse number 6. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. If you're mad right now, you're not a charitable person. Because I've told you the truth, some of you are pooching your lip out. Well, I don't like him talking to me like that. Well, if the shoe fits, you got to wear it.
Amen.
You say, hey, if you're not guilty, you know that when you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that's hit is the one that hollers. If I didn't hit you, then just hallelujah anyhow. Just say, yeah, well, I'm sure I'm glad I ain't like my neighbor. That's who he's preaching to. That's what some of you are doing anyway. But if I hit you, if you're mad about this, you have a problem with charity. You're mad because I've told you the truth. Yes, sir. Verse number 6, rejoice is not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Look, it beareth all things. If you're a charitable person, you can bear some things. Believeth all things, you know what that means? That don't mean you believe everything somebody says. That means that you're willing to believe the good about somebody rather than the evil. You know what the church is made of? Listen. You can get more loyalty and more backing in the Hell's Angels in a motorcycle gang than you can in the average local church. You know what a lot of Christians are like? They're like a thing of piranhas. They're just waiting for some juicy gossip about another Christian. Are waiting to hear some kind of bad news after another Christian so they can just tear them apart. You know what? I'm usually the last one in this church to know about somebody that's done something. Somebody will come up and say, yeah, you didn't know so-and-so was doing so-and-so? No. You didn't know so-and-so said so-and-so? No. You didn't know so-and-so's name was in the paper for doing this or doing that? No. But inevitably I find out by you good folks. You know why I don't know? Because
I choose to believe the good about you. I know we're all sinners. I know we're wicked as hell. I know all that. But as my friends and my congregation, until you prove me wrong, I'm not looking to find something bad about you. I'm not looking to hear some bad news about you. It disappoints me to hear when you do something wrong. It hurts me when you go off the wrong way. But some of you, I can't wait to get some more news. One day, my friend, you're going to be the news. Or you're youngin'. That's why I don't find out things about people. I'm not looking for bad. But a lot of Christians are looking for bad. So they can spread about everybody. Some of you in this church, you do it. Amen. If you're doing that in this church, you need to get right with God. One day they're going to be calling up about you and your youngin. And oh, by the way, you want to call up and talk about other people's youngins' names being in the newspaper? You better keep your mouth shut. You better pray for them. Your youngin's name's liable to wind up in the newspaper. I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying this preaching this morning. I got a few more minutes, and I'm running out of wind, and you can't take much more than that anyway. Now, look at the preeminence of charity. Why is charity so great? Listen, because when everything else goes away and everything else fails, charity's not. Charity's not. That's what it says, verse number 8. Charity never faileth. Do you want to know who is the greatest example of a charitable person that ever walked the face of the earth? One guess. Jesus Christ. You know why that was? Because Jesus had the love and the compassion and the motives. But then he acted upon it. He didn't just sit up there and say, God, I sure love all these fallen people. Oh, Father, I sure love all these people. Boy, sure, it's a tragedy that they've all are born in sin. It's a tragedy that they all sin. It's a tragedy that they're all going to die and go to hell. It's a tragedy they're going to burn forever. Oh, I feel that toward them, Father. That ain't what he did. He did feel that. I believe that. But then he did something about it. That's why true charity never fails. What Jesus Christ did will never fail. When he died on that cross, he went to heaven. He said, it is finished. And brother, it's finished. Yeah. Everything that ever needs to be done for a man to get to heaven was done. Yeah. And accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. He is the biggest example of a charitable person. Not these stupid people. I gave $1 million to so-and-so, so-and-so organization. Yeah, you just had 50 million. Jesus, when he didn't have a place to lay down his head on this earth. Amen. He said, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head. He left the splendors of heaven and came down here, born in a poor family, and lived a poor life to give it all for everybody. People standing out there mocking him, making fun of him, pulling his beard out, gambling over his clothes at the bottom of the cross. You know what he said? He didn't say, God, bring down a bolt of lightning and kill this whole bunch. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing down there. That's true charity. And that's why when you get over to verse number 13, it says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these three is charity. What we want is real love that leads to actions. Actions, not words. And what I'm going to call you to do today, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, this is what I'm going to call you to do in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes, whether in your seat or at this altar, I'm going to get you to look at your heart. And what I want you to say is, God, if I don't have a compassion and a love and a zeal and a mercy and a burden and a true righteous motivation in my heart about some things, I want you to give it to me. And then once you give me that true emotion, that true feeling, that true burden, that true righteous motivation, then I want you to put something in me to act upon it. You need to love souls and you need to win souls. You need to love your Bible, but you need to read your Bible. You need to love prayer, but you need to engage in prayer. You need to love your church, but you need to come to your church. It all comes in one great thing, charity. And your prayer needs to be, God, give me a heart and a spirit of charity, but then give me actions. Actions where I go out and do something with it. It's not enough to talk about how you feel. Jesus Christ put it like this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, tell me that you love me. He didn't say, if you love me, have big emotional ooey-gooey feelings. He said, if you love me, do something about it. Do you love God this morning? Then you do something about it. Do you love others? Do you love people? Love your family? Love this church? Then do something about it. And that will be true charity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed.